Well, hello out there, boys and girls and people in radio land. We welcome you once again to the Adam, the Computer Guy, mid-morning, mid-afternoon, or whenever you wish to partake in listening. Coffee break, Diet Coke break, or if you're not driving, Bud Light, Miller Lite, Mick Ultra, or Corona Light with Lime break. Thank you again for lending an ear. The next 45 minutes will certainly be worth your while, as your brain cells will be stimulated and your funny bone will certainly be tickled a few times. As I often do during this program, we are joined by an interesting guest, somewhat of likely more interestingness than yours truly. In this case, it is Ronald L. Fineman, Ph.D., presidentologist and official political commentator of this radio station, not to mention a regular. Okay, that wasn't a regular way of saying it, but that's fine. It's live radio. Can't laugh at yourself, why laugh at anybody. A regular contributor to the History News Network. He was even on MSNBC, and you might find him. You might find him on a television or radio near you. So again, keep an eye and an ear out. Dr. Fineman has been a commentator on this program for 5, 6, 7 years. I kind of lost track. And today, once again,
six years.
Okay, yeah. That'll work. We power by the six power and magic years, yeah. of remote yeah. broadcasting, Ma Bell, and a few other technological tidbits. We welcome Dr. Fineman to the microphone here to talk about some of the political events. And not surprisingly, since we last got together, there's quite a bit. So, Ronald, how are you on this fine day?
I'm doing fine, and I must say we're in very tumultuous times, and I'm concerned about violence next week when Donald Trump is booked, faces indictment. I just hope there isn't in Miami, but there could be like what happened on January 6th.
Miami, that's pretty close to where you hang your hat, isn't it?
About 60 miles away, yeah.
Like
in fact, I have a neighbor who has a Trump flag down the street, has a Trump flag flying with the American flag, a MAGA flag.
Well, to each his or her own, right? We certainly appreciate free speech.
I don't know the person, but it's disgusting.
You know, you're not a Donald fan, but you certainly, like myself, support free speech. And if a person wants to be a Donald Trump supporter, that is fine. Certainly, anybody you support should not be done in a violent way. So as I see it, whether you support Donald or Mr. Biden or anyone else who has a colorful political past and present and future, that's fine with me. Just do it in a nonviolent and otherwise adult-like and dignified way.
Correct.
Correct. Out there in Florida, Ron, it's likely summer every day. We've had a bit of a drought here, but some rain has fallen. More is to come, but I'm not sure about that climate change. Just the four-season climate that we have here in the Midwest just keeps things interesting. Let folks know this program is going to be so good, we're going to air encores. So you may be hearing this after some developments have changed, but either way, it's good for a introspective perspective and, again, a laugh or two. Like any program we broadcast on the station over the last 6, 7, 8 years or so, you can go to our website, wwgh1071.com, and listen on demand on the device of your choice. Now, as I mentioned, Ron, or also known as Dr. Fineman, whatever your pleasure might be, Ron is just easier for me.
Plus,
Ronald rhymes with Donald, and that kind of makes things fun also. He's the author of the blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, which he's written for 15, 20, 30, 40 years or so.
Actually, 15 years.
An educated view from the left. We encourage folks to visit that website like I do every day. You may not always agree with what he has to say, but it will give you food for thought. You'll learn something, and again, you will certainly giggle once or twice, at least per entry. He also has a book out, available in paperback and available in some libraries, about presidential assassinations, some what-ifs, and some perspectives. You'll learn, for example, that Abraham Lincoln, arguably our greatest president, had a rather rough life, dysfunctional family, and his wife wasn't really the nicest person in the world. So you'll learn about that and much more. We do encourage you to check that out. And also visit the History News Network online, because he regularly writes for them with all kinds of good stuffy-wuffy. Speaking of stuffy-wuffy, Ron, there's been a lot of developments since we talked last time. Not surprising. As I mentioned, Ronald and Donald rhyme. So let's spend less time talking about you and more time talking about Donald. So what's going on with DJ Trump, the former president of the United States of America?
Well, he's in the process of being indicted for the second time. The first time was in New York City, and it was a civil case. This time it's a criminal case with 37 counts. And I've just heard on the radio that the federal government, when they bring these kind of charges, 98% they get convictions, 98% of the time. That doesn't mean it'll happen this time, but that's an imposing number, 98% of the time success. And it's very scary because he apparently was very loose on having documents that were not his right to have at Mar-a-Lago and showing it to people and having intelligence and military information that could undermine our military and intelligence agencies and maybe cause the death of some intelligence agents or military people. So this is serious stuff. And yet I'm hearing some people who supposedly are intelligent, who are right-wingers, like Mark Levin, who's, I want to also point out, happens to be of my faith, and I'm disgusted by it. And he's making it out like it's just Biden going after Trump. That's all it is. And so are many others that, they're refusing to deal with the reality of what he has done. And, they keep on talking about Hunter Biden, when there's nothing there. And even if it is, it has nothing to do with his father. It's just amazing to me. But this is the way it is. People are still living in their own alternate universe. It's like the Confederacy versus the Union. That's what it is.
Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, speaking with our official presidentologist, Dr. Ronald L. Feynman. Now, you said 98% conviction rate. That doesn't look too good for the orange-haired one, does it?
I was shocked to hear that it's that high. I thought it'd be like 70 or 80%. Wow. So it's going to be very difficult because don't forget there are 37 counts. Even if you're convicted only one or two counts, it still means jail time.
You don't
have to be convicted all 37. So it's horrifying. I would be falling apart if that was me.
So these are felonies, and this isn't a speeding ticket. This is a serious offense, and he really could very well be the first former president to end up behind bars in an orange jumpsuit to match his orange hair. That's a reality, right?
It certainly would be. Yes, of course, it could be pardoned by a future president, such as Ron DeSantis. It seems to indicate he would do that. That's another thing. But at least he could be convicted and theoretically go to prison. But it's hard to know what's going to happen, how it's going to affect the 2024 election. But I feel we're going to have a lot of bloodshed and violence in the next year and a half. And we're really in a crisis that's very serious, more than the 1960s, I think, really. We used to always say the 60s were the worst since the Civil War. I think this is now a threat to be worse than that.
Adam here, speaking with Dr. Ron Feynman about the Donald Trump charges and what may be happening in the court system as we transition into the summer of 2023. Ron, you have, and you kind of implied this, mentioned that it's not Joe Biden or Democrats or other parties that oppose Donald Trump who are going after him. It's a offense that you feel is very justified, and Donald certainly is in hot water, to put it mildly. You've probably seen online where people have listed world leaders who have gone after their predecessors, and Adolf Hitler was one of the world leaders who was mentioned. That isn't the case, you're saying, right? It wouldn't matter if somebody very conservative like Mr. DeSantis were president. These charges would still exist. Or is Biden, who obviously doesn't like Donald Trump, his being president, and Kamala Harris, also certainly not a fan of Donald Trump as vice president. How much is that influencing what's happening? Would there be a difference if there were a person in office as president who were more of a Trump type of a supporter, or someone whose issues, viewpoints on issues, would be closer to what Donald Trump's were? How is that influencing this whole situation?
Well, I mean, if Trump had won the election, which he did not, then it totally would have been different. There would have been no investigation, and we would have been in a situation where he would have been targeting his enemies, and we would have had the end of democracy in America. I really think that he is a threat to democracy and the rule of law, but he's not in office. That's why I think Biden was elected and had a 7 million vote or 8 million vote lead. But in the next election, except if it's Chris Christie, maybe, but the only exception I can see, everybody else is kowtowing to Trump. So I think that they would pardon him if they came in. I don't think Christie would, but Christie, I think, has almost zero chance to be the nominee. He's just trying to make sure that Trump is not the nominee. But the Republican Party is sad that they can't come up with better candidates that have some principles. They all seem to be unwilling to speak up. Tim Scott, for instance, is an interesting guy, Senator Scott of South Carolina, but he's very weak. He's not willing to speak up. Neither is Nikki Haley. And these are people who have intelligence. They're not stupid people. But I don't know what it is with these people. They all seem to be afraid of the so-called MAGA base. They worry about the 30%, you know, that seems to back Trump, and they're willing to do anything just to try to, you know, gain that group of people if Trump ends up not running or gets ill or whatever. And I don't know. I just don't understand the lack of courage and principle on the part of Republicans. Now, Mitt Romney's spoken up, but he's not running. You know, Mitt Romney's been critical, and there have been a few others, but, you know, like for instance, Liz Cheney, for instance, who I think is very admirable, but it's not happening. You know, they're not running. Although Liz Cheney might. There's rumors that she might announce. So that would be interesting, but it's really a problem. It really is a problem because the Republican Party is not standing up for the rule of law and the Constitution. They're standing up to try to get the MAGA base.
So in Donald Trump's best interest would be to have a Republican and a more conservative Republican be elected president in 2024.
Oh, absolutely.
Taking office on 120 of 25. And then if he's pardoned, what if... We understand the criminal justice system will take time. He's not going to just get arrested and go to jail, I mean, in 2 to 3 weeks. I mean, it could take 10 years before he's behind bars.
Supposedly, it wouldn't take that long for this case. Supposedly, it would be expedited, supposedly. That's what I've read.
Yeah, you never quite know, though. Now, but if a conservative Republican were our next president, and I tend to think that's what's going to happen, either way, it's going to be a very hotly contested election, and by no means... Is Biden in the position where he's guaranteed a second term? Unlike Reagan, for example, I think when he ran for a second term, why'd they even bother having an election? I mean, it was expected to be a landslide and was a pretty pronounced victory, but you don't know. You got a Democratic president who's rather controversial. He's in his early 80s, and we have many qualified Republican candidates, including possibly the first female president and a bunch of others who have had presidential aspirations off and on for a long time. You know, Mike Pence also, I think he's a more viable candidate than he's given credit for, but who knows? Either way, as I think you'd agree, Ron, love the person or hate the person, there's a decent chance our next president will be a Republican. Again, a more middle-of-the-road person like Haley or more conservative like Mr. DeSantis or more centrist like Romney. I mean, who knows? And
I must say, though, that it's unusual to have the parties in the White House switch after only one term. The only times it's happened in the last 100 years is Carter lost after 4 years and Trump lost after 4 years. Otherwise, the party in the White House usually is there for 8 to 12 years.
But you would agree it's going to be a hotly contested election, and it's not going to be...
Yes.
The best example is, again, Reagan's second term, where... Everybody knew he was going to win, love him or hate him, because he was so popular. But in this case, I mean, who knows? We're not even totally sure if Biden's going to run for a second term, but that's, I guess, part of the fun is the suspense. The bottom line, let's just pretend that DeSantis is our next president. Now, he and Donald, of course, have been at each other's throats, but that happens during a primary again. Reagan and Bush, they were like that, and Bush ends up becoming his vice president. So don't pay much attention to it. It's all part of the game. If DeSantis becomes our next president, and let's say a more middle-of-the-road VP, Nikki Haley being one of the people that comes up a lot, you would expect DeSantis to pardon Donald Trump? But would he ask Donald Trump to kind of apologize for being kind of mean to him? You've seen the commercials on TV where DeSantis is really talking about this, where Trump is really talking about DeSantis not being qualified to be president. Would that have to happen? I know this is just a scenario, but what do you think might happen? Versus if Biden gets reelected or another Democrat, maybe Harris becomes our next president. I mean, who knows?
I would just say that DeSantis already has indicated he would probably pardon, not 100%, probably pardon Trump. So I think he would. I think that's pretty clear. I'm not sure that all of the Republicans would, but a lot of them, I think, would be tempted to do so. But that would be, again, saying that a president can get away with crimes and just be pardoned when nobody else can get that kind of treatment. You know, other people are not treated the same, and the president or a former president should be treated the same as any one of us.
Right, but you and I know that high-profile people, people who can afford a very good lawyer, they tend to get a little more lenient treatment, to say the least.
Yes,
either way, right now we're seeing DeSantis and Trump at each other's throats, but they still want to be true to their party. And DeSantis, you know, young guy, I mean, he's almost young enough to be my son, for goodness sake, so much much younger than Donald Trump. Probably in his best
interest. A teenage
interest.
Father you would have been.
Yeah, in his best interest, though, Ron, to be true to his party and to pardon Donald Trump. If Donald Trump were sitting in a jail cell, and let's just say that's the case, and it's, you know, early winter of 2025, DeSantis and Haley are sitting in the White House and the vice presidential mansion, whatever that's called. Even if Donald Trump were in prison, could he go ahead and just pardon him, and therefore Donald would be released? What would exactly happen? I just see 100 different scenarios, and the whole thing is fascinating, regardless of how you feel about it, because I'm not even quite sure what I think about it. It's a fascinating scenario. It's like 150 million things could happen here.
Yeah, I'm not a legal expert, but I would think he could pardon him just like Ford pardoned Nixon. Yes, I think that could be. Although Ford pardoned Nixon when he had no crimes against him. It was just being pursued. Yeah.
It was more the expectation.
And many people now are saying Gerald Ford made a mistake. Interesting. Gerald Ford was condemned, and he gave Nixon the pardon. 25 years later, Ted Kennedy saluted him at the Kennedy Library and said he was a profile in courage for having indeed done that. And now, 25 years later, I think Ford's going to be under attack again, that what he did is he created crises for now because of what he did that he shouldn't have done then, and it would have been an easier situation now if he hadn't pardoned Nixon. So it's interesting how Ford was criticized, then praised, and now he's going to be criticized again.
So we're not totally sure from a legal jurisprudence standpoint. Jurisprudence, good, nice long word for this. This
one
morning standpoint. If Donald were sitting in a jail cell serving a 10-15 year term, off early for bad behavior, what have you, and say President DeSantis were to sign a pardon order and Donald gets pardoned, would he just be released from prison and be a free man? You don't know exactly what this scenario would be, but
he'd be free, but I'm not sure what the conditions would be under the pardon. Maybe he'd have to admit to guilt, because he's never going to admit to it, even if he's convicted.
It'd still be sitting in a prison cell. And
With the word is prison, people say jail, like you said earlier. It's prison, not jail. A president would not be in jail. He'd be in prison. That's a fancier term. Jail is for local things, not for a serious thing.
So as long as Donald Trump is a free man, even if he's facing criminal charges, he can run for president, he can become president, but he can't be president if he's sitting in a prison cell or in any way he's being held.
That is correct, but it's a crazy thing because he should actually, for what he was involved in, be disqualified, particularly if he's convicted. Now, maybe not for being indicted, but if he's convicted, he should not be allowed to be able to become president. But unfortunately, the Republican Party now, it looks like he's got the great advantage with only DeSantis having a shot at it. Everybody else is way behind. So, but we'll have to see what happens in these early Iowa caucuses in South Carolina primary, and it's interesting that two South Carolinians are going to be in the mix there, both Haley and Scott. It'd be interesting. Will either one of them be able to stop Trump in South Carolina? The fact that two of them are from the state and one appointed the other, Haley appointed Scott to his seat originally when it was an open vacancy. You wonder, who's going to win? That's going to be the most interesting primary of all, South Carolina.
Either way, it's going to be a fascinating scenario, regardless of whether you think what you think about these individuals. We don't know, and we can certainly try to make predictions. But like a lot of things, what happens probably will not be the same as what was predicted. Adam here on The Talking Place.
You're right.
WWGH Radio, speaking with our official presidentologist and historical political commentator, Dr. Ronald L. Fineman. You listened, Ron, to the recent broadcast of the Friday night program with Scott Spears, the interviewer to the stars, speaking with the former dollar bill signer, Mary Ellen Withrow, regarding the Donald Trump debacle. Well, you heard part of the interview. What's your impression of what Mary Ellen has to say about this whole spiel?
Well, I think she makes a lot of sense, and she's very, I've never met her or spoken to her, but she's a very intelligent woman, and she's going on 93 later this year, and, you know, she was a treasurer under Bill Clinton, and had a lot to do with the change in the currency. So she's a very interesting lady, and I want to, by the way, have the opportunity to congratulate WWGH on the fact that it's 9 years old now, as of Saturday the 10th, and congratulate Scott as the absolute best interviewer I've ever known.
Yes, Scott Spears, the interviewer to the stars, and he has had Sam Donaldson, Phil Donahue, Dick Cavett, and Sally Jesse Raphael. Didn't realize she's almost 90 years old, but still sounded pretty good. They've all been recently...
They're all about 90. All those people are about 90.
There are 90.
Sam Donaldson's past 90. I can't believe how old he is. He's seems so long ago, but he's still here. You know, it's
great. They've recently been on during the anniversary week, as well as a longtime local anchor. Someone actually is, I wouldn't say a friend of mine, but an acquaintance of mine, Mr. Jerry Revish, longtime anchor on Channel 10. Great guy, and that was a very candid interview. And we do invite people to listen, delineate, and if they want, shout at their listening device by going to their website of WWGH1071.com to listen to those broadcasts. Your ears and your funny bone and brain cells will certainly be very thankful. Always a good surprise here, and lots of poignant interviews on the Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Now, Ron, on your blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, you had three entries in a row regarding the Donald Trump debacle, out of lack of a better term. Certainly,
yes.
It's a big news story, and we probably said this a few times, but in our lifetimes, it's one of the biggest news stories around. The fact that Donald Trump was elected president with no previous elected political or military experience, and now he's in some deep water, so to speak.
And this does not include the Georgia case or the January 6th case. Those are still to come. He's likely to be indicted two more times, making four indictments and two impeachments.
Now, we know Donald Trump, he's an arrogant gentleman. But, you know, being in politics, being in business, you have to have some arrogance. I don't think that that's a bad thing. I mean, I have arrogance. You have arrogance. You're confident about what you say, and you're teaching presidential history in front of students. You have to be confident. So I have no issue with that. Now, Donald Trump may go a little overboard with the arrogance. What do you think he's thinking right now? Is he worried that his days as a free man are going to be over, that he might die in prison, that Melania might tell him to take a hike? What do you think is going through his mind right now?
Well, I actually have said for a while that I think Melania is going to tell him to take a hike next March. Why then? Because Barron's going to turn 18 next year in March. So I have a feeling the marriage is over, because after look at how he's cheated on her, you know, which led to this whole lawsuit, you know, that he had to pay $5 million, and we'll see if he's going to pay it. And now he's going to get charged again on that because he continues to badmouth the lady, and that's terrible. I actually, his health is not the best either. And people keep on talking about Biden being over 80. Well, he's going to be 77 on June 14th of all days, Flag Day. He's 77, Donald Trump. He'll be in his 80s in the next term as well. He'd be almost 79 when he gets into office, 78 and a half. So it's not as if he's really a better choice on the issue of age. There is an argument, of course, to say we need a new generation of leadership, but I would agree. But I think it's going to have to wait to 2028, unfortunately.
So Donald Trump probably should be worrying at this point, and you're thinking Melania is going to go for greener pastures once their son Barron becomes the age of majority, which will be in just a few months. Guess what? We'll find out.
Yeah.
I mean, she's younger, you know, a bit controversial. I like her. I think she's smart. I think she's very attractive. And we agree she's easy on the eyes. I may be a little more high on her intelligence than you are, but she does speak multiple languages. And, you know, I joke she speaks seven languages, seven more than her husband. I mean, she's not a bad woman. I mean, being first lady is not an easy job. Having a school-aged child, well, being first lady is not easy. But she's not... I mean,
she didn't want to be first lady. Yeah.
I mean, she's not a bad lady. And I think there are many things she can offer to a potential suitor. And whether she remains married to Donald, well, I guess... guess we shall find out. That's all part of the fun here, as we delve into the fascinating landscape of American and worldwide politics. Adam here on The Talking Place, WGH Radio talking and giggling occasionally with Dr. Ron Fineman, our official presidential commentator. I call him a presidentologist. And Ron, you are a part-time faculty member at Florida Atlantic University. You are on summer break, right? Are you teaching any summer school or doing anything before the next...
No, I'm doing some lectures to adult groups, but I only teach in the fall and spring, one course each term, the U.S. presidency. So in August, I go back.
So these lectures to adults, are they like at a library? Are they free? Or how would one partake in these lectures?
Some are residence communities, and others are places that have lectures, you know, where people come to the location. But for instance, just last, not every week, but this past week, I gave a lecture on John F. Kennedy and on Theodore Roosevelt. Well, and I got a very nice response.
Yeah, Theodore Roosevelt, considered one of our best presidents, along with his fourth cousin, twice removed, whatever the relationship was with Franklin Roosevelt. They were not closely related, yeah, but they do share the same last name. Teddy Roosevelt being a rather centrist or even left-wing Republican. And
yes,
course,
he's a progressive, yeah.
Yeah, and FDR being a Democrat, and, you know, love him or hate him,
liberal,
he was president, yeah, for a long time. And certainly,
12 years and 39 days.
Certainly, yeah, changed many things that occurred in the United States, and his legacy will continue permanently. So the course you teach, Ron, is going to resume in August for the fall semester,
yes,
at Florida Atlantic, and it's about presidential history, where you cover,
yes,
the presidents and the presidential office and
office, yeah,
all kinds of other good stuff. As we've discussed previously, because of all that's going on in the United States right now and the world in general, there's been a surge of interest in your class. You get more students, and one thing about you is you don't concern yourself with whether or not the students' political beliefs are consistent with yours. Somebody, as we've talked about, could write a paper about how Donald Trump is the greatest president ever and the greatest man ever to walk the face of the earth. And if it were,
yes,
argued well and written well, this person would get the same A-plus that someone who wrote a paper about FDR or would get. Even a paper...
Yeah, I would say I wince. I wince privately, but I don't make a comment.
But you respect the fact that people can disagree with you. And
yes,
we would agree that not all professors would give a favorable grade to someone whose papers do not agree with their views. That's a known fact. I mean,
yes,
thinking any other way would be a pipe dream. But you appreciate,
yeah, well,
somebody...
I'm open-minded.
Yeah,
that's
somebody doesn't agree with you.
I allow people to say their piece, yeah.
He,
yeah,
or she writes a paper, and if it's argued well, you would definitely respect that person's viewpoint. And that's what's good about studying the humanities. You don't quite know what the professor and what his or her viewpoint might be, and you can challenge the viewpoint and understand if it doesn't agree with that person, that doesn't mean you're not going to be in a favorable light. As everybody had the same opinion, this world would obviously kind of suck.
Be boring.
It's a lot better when people don't agree. makes things a heck of a lot more fun, to say the least. Now, Ron, you're,
yes,
kind of semi-retired from teaching, and you have a milestone birthday coming up fairly soon. You don't envision retiring from teaching anytime soon, I presume.
Well, actually, the milestone is a year and a half from now, the 0 year. So it's not this year. It's a year and a half from now. But I'm in my 52nd year I'm starting. I started in June 72, so I'm in my year 52 now, but only part-time now. But I can't believe I've taught for half a century, but I have.
So you've certainly taught for quite a while and are continuing to do so. Do you think you're the longest tenured professor in the state of Florida?
I'm not tenured at Florida Atlantic because I'm part-time, but not too many people have taught in the classroom anywhere for half a century. A small number, but I guess partly it's because I have a passion for it, and I'm thankfully in good health. And as long as I'm in good health, I want to continue to do it.
Yeah, I would agree that staying active, even if you're teaching or working part-time, will keep you,
yes,
young, keep you out of the hospital and doctor's office, and make life a positive experience. And you can certainly impart a lot of wisdom to your students. I mean, no question whatsoever. Just think of the knowledge that you have and things that you've seen in your own lifetime. I mean, I was young, but I remember Watergate. I remember the Vietnam War. You were a young man at that time. We both remember 9/11. Remember all these interesting,
yes,
presidential elections, Obama, the first black president, Donald Trump,
yes,
first president, never having held elected office or been in the military, now Donald Trump, quite possibly in hot water. So many things we've seen in our lifetime, and you can impart this knowledge to your students and invite them to challenge your viewpoints, and you can certainly challenge their viewpoints. And so those.
Yeah, I wanted to make a point that's of interest, that with Joe Biden's election, not only is he was he the oldest person to be elected, but also he had the longest period of trying to become president. He tried as early as 1987-88. So for 32 or so years, he's been trying to be president, tried three shots at it in 88, 08, and then 20. Of course, he was vice president in between. But I'm saying it's an amazing long time to have 32 years for the first saying, I want to be president, and still making it after 32 years.
If at first you don't succeed, try again.
And yeah, Joe Biden was able to accomplish what Henry Clay could not do. Henry Clay tried three times, and he lost three times. He never got nominated the first two times, Biden, but he came around for the third time after 32 years. It's quite amazing when you think about it.
Persistence is certainly the key. Adam here with Dr. Ron Fineman talking about the presidential and political landscape here in the great United States of America. And your blog, Ron, theprogressiveprofessor.com, on June 3rd, you talk about the upcoming Republican presidential debate, August 23rd in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So if Donald Trump is in the process of being indicted, he certainly can participate, but if he were in prison, would they do like a Zoom call with Donald Trump in prison? What would happen if he were sitting behind bars?
I don't know. I don't think he'd be. I don't think he would be on a debate if he was in prison. But he won't be in prison. You know, he's only being indicted. He's not going to be convicted that quickly, if at all.
But it would be amusing if that were to happen, wouldn't it? Because you've giggled. Could you just see right there? They're sitting there in the visiting room of the prison. Donald Trump is in his jumpsuit and his flip flops. And he's talking on the phone, and they're doing a video conference. Wouldn't that be funny?
I don't know if it's funny. It would be interesting.
Interesting, certainly, and amusing, certainly. Yeah. And you elicit a lot of giggles. Yeah. I would certainly be listening. So we have two Chrises who are both fairly moderate, Chris Sununu and Tim Scott.
Chris Sununu backed out. He's not running.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
he announced this week he's not running. Oh my God, yeah, I was surprised because actually, in my mind, he came across as the one I liked in quotes.
Now, yeah, I like him also.
Like the most of anybody was I thought him.
Yeah.
He's young.
You don't know though. I mean, this is going to change, but I did not know he had dropped out. But we have
just this week he announced he would not run. So I was thinking to myself, the only ones left that I thought were, in my mind, only acceptable were Chris Christie, and I'm not thrilled by him, or Tim Scott. But Tim Scott's very weak. He really is. You know, he's liked by everybody, but he's very weak. I want to point out, I wrote on June 2nd, only one Republican senator, that's Scott, and many Republican governors are running. This is weird because, 8 years ago in 2015-16, we had so many senators running and very few governors. Now we have everybody that's running basically is a governor except for Tim Scott. It's a Senate.
Yeah,
nobody else in the Senate is running. It's really, really weird when you think about it.
Yeah, it comes around, goes around. So governors in the presidential race of 2024, which you wrote about on June 2nd, we have Ron DeSantis, your governor, Nikki Haley from South Carolina, former official also in the Trump administration, Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas, Doug Burgum of North Dakota, Christy Noem of South Dakota, Chris Christie and Chris Sununu, Glenn Youngkin and Greg Abbott,
And Mike Pence, who was governor of Indiana before he was vice president.
Interesting selection. And Mike Pence, I don't think he's quite as conservative as some people would say. He really should stop, I think, including religion in a lot of what he says. But I think in general,
he's not going to.
Yeah.
That's why I find it sickening. It's too much.
Yeah, I think in general, he's a decent man. And I like that he's from Indiana. It's allowed to root for the home team. I like someone who's from a nearby state. And never quite know who might be our next Republican nominee, but certainly there are many viable candidates there. Nikki Haley, we've kind of gone back and forth on her. Ron, you one time were a bit of a fan, but she has fallen out of grace with you.
No more.
Do you think she'd be as good as our first female president? What's your take on that?
Oh, gosh. Well, she'd be better than Trump, but honestly, I'm disappointed in her. I'm really disappointed in all of them. I must say, by the way, one of these governors, I actually had to look up Doug Burgum of North Dakota. I said, who is Doug Burgum? I had to look him up. He seems to have been governor since 2016. Seems all right, but really, from North Dakota? I mean, come on. Now, you might say, well, what about Kristi Noem, South Dakota? She's a little more out in the public, and also she is from the state that has Mount Rushmore, so that gives her some edge. I'm joking here.
Yeah, she's well-known.
The Dakotas, where nobody lives, having people running? I don't know. I think it's weird.
Yeah, Kristi Noem is just well-known. Female governor, very conservative. Of course, I agree with her on many issues and some things I don't agree with her on, but we can agree that she's very easy on the eyes. And that's not certainly...
Doug Burgum.
That's not something that we use as the main guideline, but a president, you know, especially in the age of social media, his or her face is out there and a person should present him or herself well. And certainly Haley and Noem, they quite good at that. Chris Christie... You know, not exactly the most appealing person from a physical standpoint, but he is intelligent and he speaks well. And, you know, kind of like the guy, he's colorful. And there are certainly things about him that I think would be appealing. Mike Pence, you know, kind of average looking, but he carries himself well in a distinguished manner. Good legal background, good age, 60s, and again, from Indiana. So, I wouldn't
64
really.
64 this yeah, week, yeah.
I wouldn't object to him being president. I'm not quite sure what his chances are, but he certainly is in the mix. But
well, let me just say, imagine they took my long shots. What if Doug Burgum of North Dakota became the next president? I'm just trying to imagine a novel with that.
Yeah, I don't really know much about Doug Burgum, but I guess if he becomes a front runner, I will have to learn very quickly.
I mean,
quickly.
If I did not know his name, I mean, I keep up with these. I said, I hadn't really looked up who is Doug Burgum. All the others on that list, I know who they are. He is totally in the dark as far as I think almost nobody except maybe in North Dakota knows him. But I'm thinking, my God, even he is in the race. But I don't know why he's doing it. He's not going to be the nominee. Yeah, but imagine if he ended up in some crazy situation he did, you know.
Maybe it's too cold there in North Dakota. D.C. has a much more mild climate, though it's kind of hot and muggy there in the summer. So maybe that's the reason. Either way.
But imagine all the people who ran, like Cruz, Rubio, and Rand Paul, and of course, Santorum is not in the Senate anymore, and Graham, they're all not running. All the ones who ran in 16 are not running.
Adam here, speaking with Dr. Ron Fineman about multiple issues, Donald, and of course, the upcoming Republican debate and who might be sitting in the White House come January 20th of 2025. What do you think of Chris Christie? We hear his name all the time. Does he have a good chance, and would he be an okay president? What's up with him
currently? I don't particularly care for him, but he's more mild, more moderate. But he has the whole issue of the scandal in New Jersey about the George Washington Bridge and the blockage there that happened back in 13. And, you know, I'm not a fan of him, but in this group of people, I would say he's the one I find most, not appealing, but the one I can most imagine. But I don't think he has any real chance because he's coming out strongly against Trump more than anybody else. And only other one is Asa Hutchinson somewhat. So I think there's no chance for anybody who is anti-Trump to really go far. Although I wish Liz Cheney would just get in the race and muddle it up. You know, it's hint she might even run as a third-party candidate, actually.
Interestingly, Ron, your governor, Ron DeSantis, if I'm not mistaken, is the only person there whose first name is that of a previous president, of course, Ronald Reagan. Nikki Haley, that's not her birth name, but her birth name is still not one that's been previously had by a president. Never had a president named Mike, even though that's a very common name, but Mike Pence was, of course, vice president. Mike Dukakis could have been president, but he lost, so no Mikes.
And I know Mike Dukakis. I met him years ago,
We know the story, of course. Asa, not a name that's been used. Chris and Doug, Glenn and Greg, all very common names, but we never had a president with that first name before, so that's kind of...
William and John are the most common.
Yeah, kind
William
of fascinating. So, is it time for another president named Ron? Because the last president named Ron was very popular, but maybe not.
Well, I would hope not. But what about Rand Paul? Imagine whose father was Ron Paul, who's still around, you know, he's still alive. Yeah, imagine if Rand Paul was running. For some reason, he's not running this time, though. I don't know why.
Well, who knows, but that's just kind of interesting. Maybe you've noticed that also, that Ron DeSantis, the only Republican candidate sharing a name with a first name with a previous president, despite names like Mike and Chris being very common. So maybe that will change, or maybe it won't.
Yeah.
A lot of presidents named John, Certainly John's a name that stood the test of time and probably had about 10 different presidents named John.
Not that many. Also, James is quite common, too. And then we have Jimmy.
James Earl Carter. Also known as Jimmy Carter. And as we talked about before, Jimmy Carter in hospice, but appears to be doing okay. Rosalind has been diagnosed with early stage Alzheimer's, I believe. We wish the Carters well. And Jimmy Carter, you know, he's feisty. He's not ready to leave this earth anytime soon. And although his presidency is one that people may not think was the greatest, his legacy and his humanity in his post-presidency are second to none. And I think every day that Jimmy Carter is still living on this earth, he has an influence on how things are transpiring.
Yes. I wanted to mention, we haven't talked about the debt limit bill passing both houses. That happened in the last couple of weeks. That's a major thing, that we resolved the issue without having any danger of going bankrupt. And that's important. And actually, it's seen as a victory for Joe Biden, because Kevin McCarthy came around and alienated his extreme right wing. And he's in some trouble now in the House because of that. But I think they realized they had to come to an agreement on the debt limit.
Certainly the Republicans and the Democrats have different analyses of this debt resolution, and that's not unexpected. Do you see that as a positive for Joe Biden as he possibly attempts a re-election? Okay.
Yes, I would say, not that he's perfect, nobody is, but more people look at it. He's accomplished more domestically with the different legislation passed last year and now this debt limit extension than any president in domestic part, I'm sorry, not talking about foreign, since LBJ. And honestly, he's always been underrated. He's being compared now to Truman. Oh, Truman was always underrated, including when he ran in 1948, that, he has no chance to win, blah, blah, blah. But he won. And I think more and more people are starting to realize Biden is in the tradition of Truman, a guy who has guts and courage. And while he makes a lot of enemies, he always seems to somehow, you know, survive. He's been underestimated an awful lot. And I do think, even though it's not my ideal that he run, I do think he will win a second term. We'll have to see. You know, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
We will certainly find out. And as my mama always said, Ron, time flies when you're having fun. We've covered just about all of the expected topics and a few extras as we get ready for the Republican debate later in the summer. I'm sure more things will transpire, and seems like every time you turn around, there's a new development with the Donald Trump charges. So regardless of what you think about the Donald, it certainly is fodder, food for thought, and we are living in a very historic time. I don't want to sound like a cliche, because that said, seems like every day, but I think at this point, we have a right to say that. So regardless of what happens, regardless of what you think about these people, it's history in the making and something that will cause us to be glued to the news and to talk shows. And certainly it's a good time for radio stations and online media outlets like ours, who do a lot of political commentary and talk. And Scott's case speaks with a lot of famous people. So we do encourage folks to listen to this station regularly. Check out our archives and you will learn something. Have opinions that will affect what you think about these issues. And most importantly, giggle a few times, because laughter is certainly the best medicine. Dr. Ron L. Fineman, thank you again for joining us here on The Talking Place.
Thank you so much.
We will have more stimulating commentary during our next broadcast. And once again, feel free to follow Ronald L. Fineman on Facebook and check out his book about presidential assassinations. And as I do, make it a daily habit to read his blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com.